It's Wednesday, the 4th of September, and this is the Monocle Minute. Today...
I will never surrender the control of our negotiations in the way the leader of the opposition is demanding.
We're not surrendering because we're at war with Europe. They are surely our partners.
Extraordinary scenes in Britain's Parliament as Brexit rebels make themselves heard. Plus, a proposed new tax in Japan leaves business owners scratching their heads. Could the arrival of new streaming platforms spell the end of binge watching? And controversy erupts around a new exhibition in the Netherlands that reveals the darker side of design and iconography. I'm Ben Rylan in London. The Monocle Minute starts now.
If anything, it is a no-deal exit that would mean surrendering our industry, our jobs, surrendering our standards and protections in a trade deal with Donald Trump and the United States.
It was another extraordinary day in British politics yesterday after the Conservative MP Philip Lee quit his party and defected to the Liberal Democrats. His departure means that Boris Johnson's government can no longer claim a working majority. Monocle's Paul Osborne has this report.
This was Boris Johnson's second appearance in the Commons as Prime Minister, and he was upstaged almost straight away.
Our exports to the United States. I wish my honourable friend all of it.
Order! Order!
Philip Lee crossed the floor of the Commons, joining the Liberal Democrats, removing Mr. Johnson's fragile majority. The day was to get a lot worse for him. Brexit was supposed to be about taking back control, restoring power to Parliament. But it turns out Boris Johnson was a lot more keen on that idea in theory than in practice.
The eyes to the right, 328. The nose to the left, 301. So the eyes have it. The eyes have it. Unlock.
By a majority of 27, MPs voted to grab control of the timetable in the House of Commons. That sets up a vote today on whether to rule out a no-deal Brexit at the end of October. The law, if passed, would force Boris Johnson to seek an extension to the Article 50 deadline if no deal has been agreed by the middle of next month. But the new Prime Minister says that's something he'll never do.
Parliament is on the brink of wrecking any deal that we might be able to strike. Would hand control of the negotiations to the EU, and that would mean more dither, more delay and more confusion.
Instead, he's threatening a general election within weeks.
I don't want an election, but if MPs vote tomorrow to stop negotiations and to compel another pointless delay to Brexit, potentially for years, then that would be the only way to resolve this.
But it's not so simple. Boris Johnson can't get that election unless the opposition agrees. Two-thirds of MPs have to approve it. And the opposition sense they're being drawn into a trap. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn says Johnson can have his election if he agrees to rule out no deal next month.
Get the bill through first in order to prevent, in order to take no deal off the table.
It is a little over a month since Boris Johnson became Prime Minister, and many at Westminster get the feeling that this was the plan all along. He insisted he didn't want to suspend Parliament for weeks leading up to the Brexit deadline, then did just that. He insisted he didn't want an election either. Now he's changed his mind. At every stage, he's insisted other people, internal critics, opposition MPs, the European Union, are all to blame. Yet there's been no new proposal from Britain to the EU on a way out of this mess. And Britain's Brexit negotiating team is a quarter of the size it was under Theresa May. 21 Conservative MPs voted against Boris Johnson. All were immediately thrown out of the party. Among them, the longest-serving member of the Commons, Kenneth Clarke, and Nicholas Soames, grandson of Winston Churchill, Johnson's supposed hero. Those expulsions leave him far short of the numbers he needs to control Parliament, and one way or another an election is coming. Today is Boris Johnson's 43rd day as Prime Minister. His every move now is calculated to appeal to the 17 million people who voted Leave back in 2016. He'll need their votes to get back in the driving seat and avoid being the shortest-serving Prime Minister in British history. But right now, his fate is in the hands of others. His big gamble may not pay off after all. For Monocle, in London, I'm Paul Osborne.
To Japan now, where a new tax is irking some and confusing others.
Japan's retailers and restaurateurs are bracing themselves for October 1st, when a rise in the country's consumption tax comes into force. The decision has provoked the ire of business owners and customers alike, and there are valid criticisms. It's confusing. Goods will be grouped into a two-tier system, which seems to arbitrarily introduce higher taxes on some things, but not others. The scenario echoes similar bafflement in Australia, when the country introduced its goods and services tax. Few, including then opposition leader John Hewson, understood quite how it would apply.
You tell us in what you've published that the cost of cake goes down, the cost of confectionery goes up.
That's right.
And there's icing and maybe ice cream. And then there's candles on top of it.
That's right. Now, that's the difficult, that's what I'm addressing in the question. To give you an accurate answer, I need to know exactly what type of cake to give a detailed answer. I mean, if it's just a cake from a cake shop that isn't not...
Japan's tax could also be bad for growth. The last rise of this kind in 2014 was followed by a sudden drop in GDP. To ease fears that consumers might be frightened away by the increase, the government is subsidising a 5% refund for anyone using cashless payments. But it will take a strong and clear public information campaign to ensure people aren't bamboozled by Japan's new consumer tax do's and don'ts.
The rise of Netflix has brought with it a new way of consuming television, one that for some people means staying in for hours, or perhaps days at a time, to soak in every episode of a must-watch series before opening the blinds and squinting as the outside world comes back into focus. Sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? Well, now it seems that appointment viewing might be due for a comeback. Fernando Augusto Pacheco has the story. Faye, this is all down to a quaint little baking show, isn't it?
Yes, Ben, we're talking here about The Great British Bake Off, which will be on Netflix. The difference here is that it's going to be one episode a week. And it's an interesting trend we're seeing the streaming services. I mean, the upcoming Disney Plus as well, the series will be one episode a week. You know, when you have HBO, Hulu, they're all doing this.
Now, Netflix has experimented with this idea before. RuPaul's Drag Race, of course, is usually released week to week. Disney is following the idea as well. It'll release its shows weekly. Have we had enough of binge watching?
I don't think it would be the end of binge watching per se, but it would be kind of perhaps a more niche thing. Perhaps, of course, Netflix, you know, they produce a lot of content. So for them, perhaps it's fine to continue with this format. But other streaming services like Disney Plus, which will certainly not have the same amount of content of Netflix, I don't think they will be using this format. And perhaps they'll inspire others like Hulu and Amazon Prime, among others.
Fernando Augusto Pacheco, thank you. And finally today, Monocle's Melkon Çağçıoğlu'nun looks at how the power of design and iconography can be harnessed for both good and evil.
This Sunday, the Design Museum Den Bosch in the Dutch city of 's-Hertogenbosch will open a retrospective of Nazi design to mark the 75th anniversary of the city's liberation. It will come as no surprise that the museum is facing calls for the exhibition to be cancelled. The charge, reverence for a subject that should be buried. We should always sympathise with such grievances, but the museum's critics are leaping to a conclusion. Does watching Schindler's List mean that you revere the Third Reich? On the contrary, it's a question of education and remembrance. In that vein, Den Bosch aims to demonstrate the dangerously powerful tool the design became under the Nazi regime, not to promote the subject matter. It'll do this by showing everything from the likes of conscription posters and architectural sketches to furniture from the Reich Chancellery and even the original Volkswagen Beetle. Willful ignorance comes at our peril, whether today or 80 years ago. Design, like politics, continues to be deployed to dupe the public. Just think of the arrow-shaped Brexit ballot logo, subconsciously inviting the voters' tick. It's imperative that we learn from the past to discern the same trickery in the present, and that simply cannot happen if we shut down every sensitive discussion.
Melkon Çağçıoğlu'nun there. That exhibition, Design of the Third Reich, is on at the Design Museum in Den Bosch in the Netherlands until January 2020. Well, that's all for today's program. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, monocle.com. I'm Ben Ryland. The Monocle Minute returns on Thursday.